At a news conference in Annapolis this morning, the newly minted governor-elect sounded pleased and a bit surprised at his victory over Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown.
Well, I got to tell you, even though I was confident and we knew there was a path to victory from day one, when nobody else believed, we knew it was nearly an impossible thing to pull off. And quite frankly, we set vote goals that were nearly impossible to attain in every single county in the state, and we blew past every one of them.
He ran a very good campaign. He was very strategic. He out-hustled Anthony Brown, who acted as though this were a coronation.
Melissa Deckman is the chair of the political science department at Washington College. She says Marylanders are dissatisfied with the status quo.
I think the electorate is very cranky.
So the Republican candidate saw an opportunity, she says.
Republicans were generally excited about Larry Hogan, whereas Democrats really felt that Brown was just sort of a candidate, right? He was just sort of middling and not very exciting.
Brown took Baltimore City and the D.C. suburbs, but Hogan handily won the Republican counties and won big time in swing counties. He took Howard County, even though County Executive Ken Ullman was on Brown's ticket, and he took Baltimore County with almost 60% of the vote. Malia Cromer from Goucher College says Hogan repeatedly told the voters they pay too much in taxes, and that is what moderate Democrats and independents wanted to talk about.
I think really what happened here was a mismatch between what the Maryland population was saying and what the Brown campaign was delivering. It was clear from the Goucher poll, as well as the Sun poll and the Washington Post poll, that the number one issue for Marylanders was the economy, the economy, the economy. And the Brown campaign continued to try to make the election about guns and about reproductive rights.
Yet, throughout the summer, polls showed a strong lead for the lieutenant governor. So what happened? It's not as if Hogan had loads of money to spend on advertising. He rolled the dice, as Deckman points out, and used Maryland's public campaign finance funds. It capped how much his campaign could raise, but also gave him an infusion of money immediately after the primary.
So I think by doing that, you know, it was maybe a gamble on Hogan's part. But traditionally speaking, the Republican Party hasn't really been very well organized in a state like Maryland. And so I think it was smart and shrewd for him to do that, to kind of go that route of public funding.
Todd Eberle, chair of the political science department at St. Mary's College, says Hogan was gaining traction as fall approached.
The debates wound up helping a lot because Hogan absolutely held his own, looked every bit the part of a competent governor and manager. And that's, you know, really when people started to come around to this idea that, you know, he may actually have a chance here.
And Hogan's internal polls were showing that, but people dismissed them. Eberle.
It turns out that the Hogan folks actually had a really good read on the electorate.
Then he started to get national attention from Republican rock stars like New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Christie came in, and then the Republican Governors Association brought some money in, and then, you know, you really knew that something had to be going on.
In the end, Hogan got independents to lean right and flipped moderate Democrats, Cromer says. But what does this say about the future of the state? Is it telling?
I wouldn't say that one election turns a state red. But I think what it does say is that voting is habitual. And once you vote for a Republican the first time, it becomes easier to do it again.
She says that trend can perpetuate itself unless the Democrats make a stronger showing in the next election. I'm Mary Rose Madden, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.